all this.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
This week. Now, a regular feature, of course, on the Pat Kenny Show is the Skin Deep series. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Professor Katrina Ryan, consultant dermatologist with the Institute of Dermatology in Ballsbridge, joining me in studio. If you have any questions, 53106, put them in. But we're going to focus on hair loss. It can be extremely challenging condition for particularly younger people to come to terms with. It affects half of all men by the age 50 and a good chunk of women as well. It's also extremely common. So the questions are numerous. Welcome, Katrina.
Thanks, Ivan.
First of all, does hair loss differ between men and women?
Well, I suppose to begin with, there's lots of different types of hair loss, sort of four main types, but all of them affect both men and women. Some affect men more, other affect women more. But I will say they really, really impact people who suffer from them. I don't think until you've had hair loss yourself, I don't think people realise how impactful it can be for a patient. Because our hair is so important to us. It's part of our
Well,
identity.
I lost my hair in my 30s, back when I was minister in the mid-90s. And so my riposte to it always is, it's all to do with testosterone. I've just too much manly testosterone. And secondly, grass doesn't grow on a busy street in terms of, you know. And it's amazing. I have three siblings and they are 60, one is 70, they haven't lost one hair. And I honestly believe that the stress I put myself in for was a contributory factor. What are the causes clinically of hair loss?
So the biggest thing, so you're talking about male pattern hair loss.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, what we
well,
consider
sorry, it's always about Ivan on this show.
Yeah, no. But actually, yours is so relevant because it's by far the most common. And nearly every man suffers from it at some point, as you said, 50% by the age of 50. But it's very genetic. About 40% of your risk of having it is genes, and there's loads of genes. So you couldn't even test for them all. There's over 70 genes. So often people have a family history. Now, it doesn't. A lot of people think that if they're a man, then their father will be the person with their you know, the early pattern hair loss. It could be the mum's brothers that had the, you know, so it comes from both sides. There's a lot of wives.
Because I know of dads whose, you know, 25-year-old son is bald, but he's not bald.
Exactly. And it could be coming from any line. But if you look at the mother's side, it could be on that side too. So, yes, there's a huge genetic component. And Ivan, I'm sorry to say you don't have any more testosterone than anyone else, I wouldn't think. It's just that...
Don't let the facts get away in the way of a good line. So basically, you said there are four types of hair loss, different varieties. Just go through them.
So the first type is the one we're talking about. So male and female hair loss. And they evolve in the very same way. Now, I said you didn't have higher than normal levels of testosterone. But what is usually happening is that the hair follicle is more sensitive to certain derivatives of testosterone that are floating around the body. So, and that's where the genetic bit plays in. So the hairs first miniaturize into skinny hairs, then they involute or go away. And once there's no hole there, you can't get that hair back. So that's a progressive form. And the only way you really get your hair back once the follicle is closed and gone is a hair transplant. So that's female and male pattern hair loss. And we have great medications to stop that process or slow them down. And that's something a lot of people are coming to us for now. The next form that people would know of is alopecia areata. And that's the type that is your own immune system attacking your hair follicles. And so you'll see bald patches in the scalp, so sort of oval or round shaped patches gone. Sometimes in more severe cases, every bit of hair on the body gone. So scalp, eyebrows, eyelashes, and all of the body hair. And unfortunately, this is something that can affect very young kids, but all the way through life, and it can be devastating, especially at that formative time in somebody's life. The next form is telogen effluvium, and that's one it's much more common in women. It's what we consider the sort of stress-induced hair loss. And yes, stress can make your hair fall out, but it doesn't accelerate the type of hair loss that you have, Ivan.
Okay.
But what happens is if someone has a physical stress or a psychological stress, so say if someone really was very sick or they lost weight very rapidly, so we see a lot of this with Ozempic actually at the moment, or if they have a baby, like big hormonal shifts, or psychological stress. So, you know, losing somebody or moving house or a new job or whatever else, that stress triggers hairs to go into a resting phase. And you see them fall out about 3 months later. So it doesn't happen straight away. It happens about 3 months later. So that's really, really common. And a lot of women who've had babies will be familiar with this because their hair all, you know, when they're they're already up to 90 with a baby, then their hair all starts falling out.
Will
as
it
well
grow back?
It always grows. Well, sorry, it nearly always grows back. So that's something not to worry about, but it can be shocking when it's happening. People's hair just coming out in the shower, like handfuls of hair, you know, brushing out, you know, falling out onto the carpet. So it can be terrifying for people. There's a few other forms that are scarring types of hair loss. They're less common, but again, they're progressive. And we need to intervene really early with medications for those. Really, really important that people go and see someone about that.
On the treatments, like I'm thinking of Wayne Rooney, I'm thinking of Marty Whelan, where they openly have said, look, I've had a transplant, and you actually see it works. Other than transplants, does anything else really work?
Oh, yeah. So, and especially if somebody gets in early. So we've got lots of different medications. One is called minoxidil, and people will know that over the counter as Regain. So starting that very early, especially if somebody is in their late teens, early 20s and is already seeing a little bit of recession, and they might be aware of it already because their dad or their uncle's going bald earlier. So getting on that, we also use it in an oral form.
And what's the science of that?
It's vasodilation. So increasing the blood supply to around the hair follicles can make a big difference. And that can really make a difference. Then we have other medications that affect the conversion of testosterone to one of its metabolites. And that they're finasteride and dutasteride, or propitious finasteride is known as. And I will say, especially when I was in the States for years, I feel like all of my friends had been on finasteride since their early 20s because people are very, very aware of their hair loss in the US more than here. But now there's a huge wave of that here too. And actually, if you have a hair transplant, you need to be on these medications to retain the hair transplant as well. So they can be very, very effective. For women, we use similar medications, and we have an additional one called spironolactone. For people who don't want to do medications, they will often come to our clinic to get something called PRP, so platelet-rich plasma injections. Not as effective as the oral medications, but as effective as the topical minoxidil and a great adjunct. And that's injected into the scalp. It's your own blood spun down. So the platelet-rich plasma is injected back in and can stimulate hair as well. So there's lots of different ways we can target.
If you have hair loss due to chemo, cancer treatment, it will grow back, will it?
In most cases, there's a certain group of drugs that you can see more permanent hair loss with called the Taxols. And again, that's, I think, you know, I have so many patients who come in after losing their hair after chemo. And they say that they were coping with the cancer diagnosis, with the chemo, they were staying strong. And once that hair started falling out, it all hit. So there's a huge emotional element.
Psychological, yeah.
Huge, and it can be devastating.
Your whole personality is affected, yeah.
It is, because it's very much our identity.
Well, you said to me before we went on air that, have you put out about questions? My screen has lit up with questions. I used to have really hairy legs, but they've become really smooth over the last few years. Is this normal? I'm very worried about it.
Oh my God, I'd be delighted about it if I was that listener. But that is something that happens with perimenopause and beyond.
I'm sure it's a man.
It's a man.
I assume so. Like a woman wouldn't be worried about loss of hairy legs.
Yeah,
so if it's a man, is there anything, should he be worried?
Nothing to be worried
about.
It's
normal.
And actually it's very common in the lower legs of men.
Will it grow back? No. That's it.
Unlikely. And again, nothing to worry about. It's nothing to do with hormonal levels.
Is it true that redheads don't suffer as much from hair loss? The revenge of gingers.
No, that's not true. I think what that listener is thinking is that redheads don't go grey as quickly. You know, certain hair colours will you know, in general grey more quickly. Redheads, I see just as much female pattern hair loss and alopecia areata.
Now, here's a term I don't know. A tricholicist can help with hair loss. It helped me enormously with laser treatments.
So a tricologist is somebody who works with hair. It's not a doctor, so they can't prescribe medications. So they'll often do things like laser lamps. And the premise behind that is meant to be to increase blood flow. It's controversial, and there's no good evidence about that, Ivan. They'll often give topical minoxidil though, which, you know, we can get over the counter too, and that is helpful.
Okay. Beyond hair loss. Andrew in Cork asks, I have very dry kneecaps. The skin is also white. Tried every cream, no effect.
Well, that's one of two things. So it's either psoriasis, which, you know, you see sort of white scales on top of a pink plaque. And often it will take a topical steroid or a topical from the GP to help with that. Or it could be something called ichthyosis, which is really common in people who have drier skin. And they sort of have tougher, whiter skin over the elbows also and the knees. And for that, if it is that, using a moisturiser that has urea in it. Can help get rid of that sort of thick and hard skin. It's a great Irish company that do one called Serato. You know, and using 10% urea for that would be very helpful.
On psoriasis, my wife is treating psoriasis with a number of creams. No improvement over a period of months. What can she do?
Well, if it isn't improving, it's time to go to your GP and get a dermatology referral. We have excellent treatments for psoriasis nowadays, especially if someone has severe psoriasis, so over 10% or more. We usually treat from the inside out, and it can really improve people's lives.
One final one, it's slightly distressing. Since yesterday, I have extremely itchy and hot tiny red spots that have spread from behind my left ear to my lower jaw. My earlobe is hot, red, so itchy and swollen. What could this be?
Be all sorts of things without seeing the rash. But the one thing I'd say to the patient to make sure that they don't have something like shingles, if it's only in one strip like that. So again, you know, if you don't, if
maybe see your GP there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Professor Yates there diagnosing what to do. Always a pleasure. Katrina Ryan, Professor Katrina Ryan, consultant dermatologist, able to answer any question. She from the Institute of Dermatology, and telling you all the fact and fiction in relation to hair loss.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.